going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome on in. Lineup Logic Podcast, daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate upcoming. DraftKings and FanDuel, and we are talking week 13 of the NFL season here. I know a lot of people, you know, hey, you're in the nitty gritty, you're in the stretch run of your season long leagues, or maybe you're just totally out, which for me is a mixed bag. I've got some decisions to make. There's still a lot of NFL to be played here. I mean, DFS is not going away. In week 13, full slate, 14 games on the main slate. Obviously, it'll start out tonight with a nice Thursday game. You know, actually a relevant Thursday game, right? Cowboys-Redskins should be fun. At least Redskins kind of trying to scrape to stay somewhat alive in the NFC. A win over the Saints would have really made them alive in the NFC. But this is a good opportunity for them to stay. So good luck, Josh, and all the other Redskins fans out there. We'll see if the Cowboys can right the ship on a short – or, well, not a short week, but in primetime tonight. It should be interesting. It should be worth watching. I think that's the bottom line. Should be worth watching. But let's go ahead and jump into the main slate for this weekend. Hey, before we do that, tomorrow, December 1st, you know what that means? That means patreon.com/lineuplogic. New enrollment for Cheat Sheets begins. Get in there for the December month Cheat Sheets. You're going to get all the rest of the NFL all the way through the end of the regular season through week 16. You're going to get yourself this weekend's cheat sheet. You'll even get Fridays. You'll be there for Friday's NBA DFS cheat sheet. So Friday is really where we make hay, man. NBA is where we really make hay. Last night, lots of guys had some good success there. Slack chat, talking over plays, asking for takes, sharing ideas, that kind of thing. It's useful. It's useful. Check in and check out over there. So patreon.com/lineuplogic. If you're interested for NBA, that's our wheelhouse, baby. That's what we love. And so we will be over there, throughout the rest of the NBA season. And December 1st is the time to do it, man. $10, a great way to support the show. I appreciate the support. It's not much for you guys, but I do this every single day, and Patreon is the primary form of income that we use. Before we go much further, I want to mention to you guys our sponsor today, of course, Harry's Razors. Harry's.com/lineup is where you need to go. First of all, you can sign up and you can just get yourself a sample. If you've been interested in testing out Harry's, it is the premier razor ordering service. No doubt about it. I've been a Harry's guy for years. You guys hear me talk about it. All you have to do is go over to harrys.com/lineup, sign up, and they will send you a free sample kit that includes the shave gel, the razor, the cartridges, and all you got to do is pay shipping. That's it. So sign up, pay shipping. It gets to your house, you test it out, I guarantee you're going to like it. You're going to go, oh, well, this is simple. I should just keep using this. And they have holiday gift sets over there right now. So phenomenal gift sets, starting at pretty cheap. I talk about this, guys. This is the great brother-in-law gift. Get over there. You can get, you know, real fancy stuff, engraved handles, really nice kits, all the way down to the super basic, $15 for a nice, straightforward stocking stuff or something like that. So harrys.com/lineup makes a perfect gift. Get over there and support the show. It's a great way to do it. All right, let's go ahead and jump into the week 13 player breakdown. Who do you love? Listen, any slate where Tom Brady is out here, you have to talk about him. 9,300 on FanDuel and 7,800 on DraftKings versus Buffalo. And he's in play this week. We've got some interesting cheap running backs. So you can definitely look at Tommy Brady on the road in Buffalo. He's second in overall touchdowns this year, passing touchdowns it is, averaging 4.54 fantasy points per dropback, 23 fantasy points per game in the last month. He hasn't had a dud in that span. In fact, in the last month, he's actually averaged 0.62 fantasy points per opportunity. So he's been phenomenal over the last three seasons, averaging 21 fantasy points in matchups with the Bills. That's over, you know, since 2014, six game span, I believe. He's going to get you 20. That's it. I guarantee he's going to get you 20, 21. And in that little span back in October when everyone was like, ooh, geez, Patriots defense. Oh, geez, what's going on here? They're letting up shootouts and, you know, maybe they're not scoring as much. Maybe this isn't the... Well, he rights the ship in November. They look phenomenal. The running game is getting going. They really haven't missed a beat, you know, just dominating dominating in the month of November. So, you really got to like Brady in this situation. And, you know, Bills offense hasn't really been that great. They're only scoring 2 touchdowns per game. So you have to think that they control this one from the beginning in the same way that they did with Miami and the same way that they did with Oakland. But the reality is the Pats actually run one of the highest paces in the league, one of the fastest paces team, most plays per game. And it's because they create so many first downs, right? They're so efficient that they just keep drives alive every single time. Every single time they do. So certainly interesting to go to Brady in this situation in Buffalo. I think he probably comes lower owned than he should, although people always find a way to pay up for him. You know, so it's a good opportunity for the Pats. I think you're going to want exposure to the Pats, whether it be in the running back or through Gostkowski or maybe the defense, something like that. Because I do think that they can really put a hurting on Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo's reeling right now. Bad offensive line play. Tyrod has been fine, but they're not really an offensive juggernaut. Pat's defense has been good. One of the lowest fantasy points allowed in the league in the last month. It's top five and fewest fantasy points allowed. 60 fantasy points per game. That's insane. That's really, really good. And we've seen, you know, good teams, not even really good teams, but like good players, individual players really, really struggle against this team. So I'm not interested in anything on Buffalo's side. I think that this is a Patriots smash spot. I think that they can even cover on the road. So yeah, I have no problem going with, Pats and Brady is obviously what makes that go. On FanDuel, I think you got to look at Carson Wentz at 8K, even if he is in Seattle. I mean, he may be the guy. I think, you know, the idea of Seattle and CenturyLink kind of scares people off. It depresses ownership. But I like the competitive game. I like the fact that he's a road underdog. I don't like the Seattle defense, no. But I like Carson Wentz, and I like that he is one of the best quarterbacks in the league right now. He's averaged 4% ownership and 22 points on the road this year in 5 games. So 3 of those games, he was up against top 10 pass defenses, too. Carolina, Chargers, and the Redskins, and he scored over 20 points on those teams. So, I mean, if I'm telling you that Carson Wentz could go for over 22 points in this situation, you would probably perk your ears up. That's almost 3x as far as salary, you know, points per dollar go. You know, they're implied for just 26 points. It's the third highest number on the slate. That's nice, okay? The only other QBs with that number or higher are Tom Brady, Phil Rivers and Jared Goff. And Phil Rivers and Jared Goff are very interesting. Don't get me wrong. Phil Rivers, we'll talk about him, and we'll talk about Goff too. But I think that Wentz probably of all of those guys has the most consistent and the most consistency and the most talent. The thing about the Seahawks that interests me, honestly, if you look at their schedule, they've had a cupcake schedule. If these guys had played a tougher schedule, this team would be a disaster right now. Like, I have to be completely honest with you. I mean, twice they've had the Cardinals, twice they've had the Niners, and in between that, they saw the Colts, the Giants, and the Titans. Those teams aren't that good. I mean, the Colts and the Giants are a disaster this year, and the Titans just really aren't a threat. I don't care what you say. The only decent teams that they've played are Atlanta, who they lost to, the Packers, who they lost to in the opening game of the year, the Redskins, who they lost to, and the Texans, which was a shootout, you know, and they won by the skin of their teeth, 30, you know, on a field goal there. I think we're overestimating. I think people know that Seattle is in a real, you know, difficult situation with the injuries that they've had and Cliff Avril and Richard Sherman and all those guys. Like, this team is not necessarily a Super Bowl contender. Now, Russell Wilson is just playing out of his mind. And he's super, super good. But I do think that the Eagles could dominate here. And I think that they have no real issue putting up a big number. And Watson and Matt Ryan are the two quarterbacks that have put up big numbers. And that's a good comp here. I mean, Watson is definitely a good comp. You have a quarterback with elite pass catchers and, you know, a decent running game. A high-quality offense that's been really, really productive, who performs well under pressure. He scrambles. He creates on the run. He creates improvisational plays. I mean, that's definitely something that we've seen Wentz do, especially against like a team like Carolina. That's how we beat Carolina, right? Phenomenal third-down percentage. And like I said, he's just an ideal pivot off of Rivers. I mean, if you're staring at that lineup construction, you're going Rivers versus the Browns, Wentz versus the Seahawks. I mean, 99% of the time people are going to go with Wentz, but in the reality is that makes a lot of sense. But QBs in Century League have 1% ownership this year, and they've averaged 15 fantasy points. That's not terrible. If that's what you're telling me my floor is, the ownership below like 10% and 15 fantasy points, I will take that, because it's very possible that he goes up and he does Deshaun Watson things at the ceiling, 38 fantasy points. It's very possible that they shoot out here. You know, Doug Baldwin gets going, Jimmy Graham gets going, and all of a sudden you have, kind of like the Falcons game where, there was a lot of points scored. 64, that game hit the over like almost in the first half, and then it hit the live over because I had a buddy who was live betting it at a bar, and he was like, dude, 64, what do you think? And I was like, you got to take the under. Nope, hit the over. I think it's going to be an ugly one for the Seahawks, and I think that Wentz could really, really, really look good in this situation, and I think it's going to be kind of one of those moments where Seahawks fans go, okay, maybe this isn't the year. We need to get back to the offensive line. We need a running game, and things need to kind of resituate themselves for 2018, because Russ is healthy, but he's running for his life at all times. Anyway, as I was saying, the pivot is the obvious pivot. The one that people are going to love is Phil Rivers, and Rivers makes a ton of sense. I mean, the guy has been on fire. He's 8K on DraftKings, 7K on FanDuel. Or excuse me, reverse flip that, 8K FanDuel, 7K on DraftKings, a very, very reasonable price for both sites. Averaging 17 fantasy points in the last month, 0.47 fantasy points per opportunity. That's not phenomenal, to be honest with you. I mean, and it's partially because, listen, the guy doesn't run. If you want to get above that 0.5 mark, you either have to be a running quarterback or you have to be Tom Brady, Carson Wentz, right? And Carson Wentz is a running quarterback, actually. He's not a smashing fantasy value, but he has been very solid. We saw him throw for over 400 yards in that Cowboys game. Browns defense rates very, very similarly. They're in that bottom five, bottom three in adjusted fantasy points allowed to the quarterback and in DVOA, pass DVOA, all that kind of thing. The pass defense is not good. Now, it's not a total sieve. It isn't. I mean, you have Jason McCourty, and they have been rising up. A little bit, actually. They, I believe, in total defense, they're pretty low. But I think in pass defense, they're almost up above 25. I'm trying to remember that. I didn't write it down. But Rivers, as a home favorite in his career, has been just excellent. He really has. He's averaged 21 points there as a home favorite. Now, San Diego versus LA. I don't know if there's any difference there, but 21 points as a home favorite is a pretty good starting point for an AK quarterback, right? Not bad. Same as what we saw from Wentz, 22 points as a road favorite there this year. Rivers has only gone over 20 fantasy points twice this year, but he has shown a 15-point floor recently. I mean, and that's kind of been, as this offense is in plus matchups, that's where his floor has been. And I think that that's a pretty solid floor. You're saying 2X, you're saying 15, 16 points is my floor for a cash game quarterback. You know that this game probably isn't going to be that competitive. The one thing I will say is that the Browns have been able to kind of squeeze the ball, slow things down, and in certain situations, just limit things. I mean, remember that game of Mariota? Mariota struggled, but then, you have a guy like Matthew Stafford who came out and he was like QB1 in that week. So, I think the numbers don't lie, and you got to like this. You especially like that he has a solid core of running backs that are healthy, a solid offensive line that has been giving him plenty of time, and you have a solid tight end option in Hunter Henry who could really make this an easy day for him. So I think the weapons are there. The question that I have is, do you get the pass? Do you get the exposure via Rivers, or do you take one of his passing assets, right? Do you take Hunter Henry, for example? Do you take the Chargers defense, for example, to try to get exposure to this favorable situation? The one thing I will say, and on the offensive line, they have been phenomenal. And I was reading this about on Pro Football Focus, and I believe, I forget who it was, but they were talking about how Rivers has actually been very good against the blitz and specifically targets Hunter Henry quite a bit. And the Browns blitz a lot. Chargers only allow a 6% adjusted sack rate. So they have been very, very good. That's a pretty low number. That's one of the top 10 numbers in the league. So they have been very, very good at maintaining, stopping pressure. And so you should have time for Phil to work, create routes downfield, for Tyrell, for Keenan Allen, stuff like that. So you like that, no doubt about it. And then the rush game, their rushing defense has not been that great. It's struggling. It's headed in the wrong direction. So, who knows? I think a lot of people are talking about Cam. Earlier in the week, Cam was a really interesting option versus New Orleans. We saw Jared Goff dice them up. Everybody was like, well, Cam's on a heater right now, and he is. I mean, he's been phenomenal. In the last month, he's been absolutely excellent. He's basically putting up running back numbers on a regular basis. He's just been like 2000, the closest to 2015 Cam that we have seen. And that was really kind of intriguing, reassuring for a lot of people. I think that created a lot of appeal. I'm gonna pump the brakes a little bit here. I mean, yes, it's New Orleans. Yes, it's going to be a high total game. Yes, we've seen New Orleans give up two big performances to quarterbacks and Goff and Cousins. Marshawn Lattimore and Ken, what's his name? Not Vaccaro. Crawley both returned to practice. Okay, they practiced today after the ankle and the core injury. Greg Olsen not practicing. So it was really, really very interesting when Marshawn Lattimore wasn't going to be there to shadow, shut down Funches, and when Greg Olsen was possibly going to play. That became, wow, this is a massive advantage for this offense. They're going to have passing options. They're going to be able to kind of hide the inefficient run game, the run game is inefficient, but you can run the ball against New Orleans. They're probably going to be able to have a balanced attack. The Saints are good against the tight end, but when you have Olsen out there, he commands attention. And now you have Lattimore out there, and so you have the possibility of basically taking away Cam's number one receiver, a guy who's getting 12 targets a game. Lattimore has been shut down on his own, but now all you have to do is say, okay, not only are we going to shut down with Lattimore, we're going to throw a safety over the top so that there's literally no way that Cam can throw him the ball. He's not going to be open at all. If you take away Funches, what are they going to do? How are they going to throw the ball? You can't throw it to Christian McCaffrey every single time. They're not struggling with pass-catching running backs like they were earlier in the year. McCaffrey had a massive game against them, but the secret's out. We know what McCaffrey's game is. They're going to spy him every single time he's on the field. The only advantage that Cam has is that the rushing. I mean, he's the leading rusher among all quarterbacks. 464 total yards in the season, 5 touchdowns, and no team allowing more rush yards per carry to the quarterback than the Saints. That's interesting. They play deep. They don't allow the deep play. That's kind of one of their things. They don't play deep, but they play in the secondary to try and shut down the passing game. I think that creates a situation which Cam can rush, and you're going to see a big rushing game from Cam Newton. But they know, everybody and their brother knows that they can't run the ball. Jonathan Stewart is broken. Christian McCaffrey is great, but he's going to only get 15 touches a game. And you're going to take away Devin Funchess. Greg Olsen isn't there. So what do you do? I mean, what do you do here? I just don't see the weapons for him. And remember, there is a history where Cam smashed this team. He had over 30 fantasy points in 2014, 2015, where he looked phenomenal. That was the Saints of a different era. That was the bad Saints defense. That was the Colorado Rockies, that was the Coors Field of DFS against the Saints defense. And in his last two matchups, he has only had 11 and 12 fantasy points respectively. And the second time you see a divisional opponent, it's always worse than the first time. I just don't know if you can do it, but I understand why you would. The rushing upside is there. I mean, 100 yards and a rushing touchdown, and you are looking at a pretty solid line already for Cam, and he can do that. That's not crazy. I'm not saying anything crazy. If you say 100 yards and a touchdown, that's a running back line. That's not crazy. 10 rushes, he gets one big one. If he gets one 30, 40 yarder like he did in that Atlanta game, he went for 80 yards after he did that. So I you know, there's definitely a path to fantasy value for Cam Newton here. I think that people will be interested in him. I think Mariota is going to attract a lot of attention here, and he should. This is probably the best matchup he's faced in a while. I mean, versus Houston at home. You know, but gosh, he's struggled. 7,400 on FanDuel, 62 on DraftKings. They're well documented. I mean, I just saw a recent tweet from J.J. Zacharyson. He literally has a single digit, one of the lowest league's lowest passer rating when he was under pressure. And he is just throwing interceptions. I mean, he has like three multi-interception games in his last five. Really bad. He has not popped this year at all either. However, he's shown a floor. In the last couple games, in his three of his last four, he had 16-point performances, decent completion percentage. Yes, the interceptions were there. Yes, they still run the ball way too much. However, you're getting a Houston team that literally allows the most fantasy points to the quarterback, period. And he's at home. They're coming off a short week. There's a lot of things to really like here. And if there was ever a 25-point game in Mariota's, you know, in Mariota's outcomes, it would be here. You know, I have him in season long, and I'm very excited about the fact that this is the week that he gets the Houston Texans. Now, Rishard Matthews would be really nice to see him play, but he has not practiced with that hamstring. So you're looking at Corey Davis, Delanie Walker, Eric Decker. Those guys are all in play. And, like, listen, this could be a great Corey Davis game. He could absolutely smash. And, you know, maybe if they decide to give Derrick Henry some work, that could be really good. But what's the ceiling for the Titans offense? It's not 30 points. They don't do that often. So you got to be careful what you wish for with this team. And I think what you wish for with Mariota is ideally it's that, you know, it's a 40-yard plus a touchdown rushing, 40 yards and a rushing touchdown performance. You know, he did that in their first game. He had a rushing touchdown against them in the first time. That's really something you want. And then you want a passing touchdown and, you know, 200 plus yards there. So that's what you're hoping for. You hope he doesn't turn the ball over. This pass defense is bad. It really is. And so, you know, Pittsburgh was good. That was on the road, short week. Cincinnati's good. The Colts are better. That kind of stuff, you know, so I don't know. Mariota is interesting. He's very, very interesting. We know he has talent. He just hasn't done it this year. You haven't done anything that you're like, oh, okay, this is still 2016 Mariota. But this could be the spot. The value du jour, and I think on DraftKings, you almost are forced to play him because he's going to be chalky. Trevor Siemian, 4,800 is just, that's insane price. I mean, this is Trevor Siemian still. I mean, this guy is not terrible. 6,200 on FanDuel versus Miami. Worst defense in the league. And you get Trevor Siemian back in action, and he actually was fine in the second half of that Raiders game. Now, Raiders are a terrible defense. Okay. Well, I mean, if Trevor Siemian puts up the same amount of points that he put up against the Raiders, that's kind of interesting, right? I mean, like, you know, if he does the exact same thing, like, he only had one half of work, but, like, let's be very clear. Like, he looked okay. You know, he looked okay. 14 fantasy points against a very, very bad defense. 11 for 21, ugh. But two touchdowns, you know, and that's kind of how he has made his hay. He had those two big breakout weeks where he had multiple touchdowns. And he's not a guy who's very accurate. And then the reality is he has not been all year. And a lot of those inaccuracies turned into, you know, before he got benched, he turned into inaccurate balls that were turnovers, and that's why he lost his job. But Miami, 3 TDs per game. That's the most in the league. The highest red zone scoring rate in the league. Okay, one of the highest completion rates in the league, like 29th highest completion rate in the league. This is not a hard passing matchup. I mean, this team is going to get destroyed. And Siemian, who's not a great passer, should be able to at least be competent, right? And if what you're saying to me is fine, at 4,800 on DraftKings, get me 14 points. Yeah, I mean, come on. That's two touchdowns and 120 yards. So the problem that you have here is really this, okay? Oakland doesn't have a pass rush. Miami has a pass rush, they have decent pass rushers. I'll say that. And Denver's offensive line is terrible. So in that stretch, right before he got benched, I was looking at the numbers, gross. In those three starts before he got benched, he allowed a combined 6 interceptions and sacks. So like 3 of each, for example, in a game. Over that 10, or excuse me, no, sorry. 6 interceptions over those 3 games and 12 sacks. That's bad. And you're not going to create any sort of fantasy value if you are turning the ball over at least twice a game and you're taking multiple, like, drive-ending sacks. It just doesn't work. Like, those are recipes for no touchdowns. So I think the reduced completion percentage, the bad offensive line, like, you can go there, but, like, don't just get bought in. I mean, the matchup and the price are great, but, like, you're talking about a guy who lost his job for a reason, because he has a below 60% completion rate. Even though he was good in the beginning of the year, it's not hard for teams to figure out. It's just a question if the Dolphins can stop him, right? I don't know. Simeon is 29th in the league in fantasy points per dropback. He's terrible. I mean, he's like, that's like worse than Jay. So, anyway, there's a couple other thoughts here that I have. Russ versus Philadelphia on FanDuel. He's all they have. The man is scoring at will. Like, he's just phenomenal. Like, anytime you get a chance to roster Russell Wilson, you have to consider it because he is everything. The problem is the Philly defense, very good, trending in the right direction. Pass rush is there. They have just smothered opponents recently. I think that they are going to pin their ears back and blitz the hell out of Russ, and I don't think that they will have a problem stopping this offense. I really don't, unfortunately. You're not going to be able to run the ball against them at all. So it's basically Russ versus. I love Russ, but there is going to come a time when a defense just says, we know what you're going to do. We know how to stop you. Like, good luck, you know? And if we know there's one thing that the Eagles do, it's that they take away the deep ball. So maybe there's some short stuff. Maybe they get some Doug Baldwin slant action, you know? That's fine. That's great. Love that. But that might be the ceiling, right? That might be the ceiling. So I'm not too much in love with Russ's matchup. I think it's much worse than Wentz's matchup. Carr versus the Giants. This is the thing people are talking about. I don't know. I don't think he's been very good, and I think Del Rio saw it. And I think that the combination of the fact that he wasn't throwing the ball well recently, when they were giving him over 30 attempts, he wasn't doing well. He did terrible in that Patriots game. It combined with the no Amari Cooper, no Michael Crabtree. They ran the ball season high time 37 times last week. I think they're going to run the ball again. I mean, why wouldn't you? The Giants are going to be able to do anything with Geno Smith. I mean, not a blessed thing. Not a blessed thing will Geno Smith do. Now, if the running game gets going, then you might have an issue, because the Giants could actually start to run the ball. Their rush game is headed in the right direction, and they've actually been doing a great job. But, you know, you want to see what you have in Geno Smith. You don't want to hand it off 30 times. Fucking idiots. McAdoo is, like, just a walking, just, I don't know what to just, like, I can't even, like, is he just dumb? Does he have zero social, like, does he not have friends? Who looked at Ben McAdoo and was like, you're a leader of men. You are a leader of men. I can see it. I don't even think I'd take directions from that guy. Give me a fucking break. Like, put him in the booth. If you want him to be, like, let him be some kind of offensive, you know, guru in the booth with a million and one plays. But I don't want him, like, trying to motivate me. Get out of here. Anyway, that's enough Ben McAdoo musings. Goff versus the Cardinals. Yeah, I mean, Jared Goff's a fucking animal right now. He's been killing it. The Cardinals continue to allow some of the most fantasy points to the quarterback, over 20 points per game. Yeah, I think you could definitely go to Goff versus the Cardinals. And listen, you know the other guy that I really like? I fucking love Case Keenum. I told you guys on the Thanksgiving pod, Case Keenum is going to smash. Case Keenum smash. Stop doubting this man. Stop doubting this man. This offensive line, filthy. Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, filthy. Possibly no Desmond Trufant. Probably no Desmond Trufant. What? No Desmond Trufant? Yep, no Desmond Trufant. So who's going to guard Stephon Diggs? I don't know. Brian Poole, one of the worst corners in the league. Guys, they're healthy. They're killing people. It's going to happen. That game could shoot out. I like Case Keenum a lot. Anyway, all right, running back. Moving on to running back. Todd Gurley, no doubt about it. He's the man versus Arizona. 8,800, 82 on DraftKings. Cards allowing 19 fantasy points per game to the running back in the last month. They are improving, though. However, listen, up to ninth in league in rush DVOA. Okay? That's pretty good. Their pass defense has struggled. After the bye, though, better. So ninth most efficient rush defense, that's not exactly my favorite thing in the world. Because, listen, they played the Rams in London. They lost Carson Palmer. Then they went on bye, and they came back, and the defense was, like, rejuvenated. So only 64 yards on the ground, 3.2 yards per carry in that last month span. But they are getting smashed in the pass-catching game. 58 yards receiving per game to the running back. That's the second worst in the league. So, if you're playing Gurley, I think it's a DK play. Because what you're playing him for is the pass-catching upside. You're playing him for the recognition that, listen, we can't run between the tackles. But we can flank him out wide and let him work in space. And maybe they start to shift that towards, you know, just getting him carries by throwing him the ball. And so I think he's probably a little bit more of a favorable DraftKings play where you always want guys who are going to receive. But, you know, I mean, we know he's catching the ball. He's third in the league in receiving yards among running backs. The one thing I will say is that the Rams' O-line gives a distinct advantage against everybody. 4.5 adjusted line yards. That's third in the league. They're phenomenal. But, you know, like I said, Arizona only allows 3.4 yards per carry. So that's not great. The question, of course, is, you know, if you have a productive offense, you have a possibility to exploit them in the passing game, you have the ability for McVay to, you know, dial up whatever his creative, amazing, opposite of Ben McAdoo mind is to, you know, just dice these guys up, Gurley could be productive. I mean, he did it in the first one against the Cardinals, so I have no problem with it. I just don't think you're going to be able to run between the tackles against this team. Melvin Gordon, obviously going to attract a lot of attention, home favorite, Cleveland, 7,900 on FanDuel, 7,200 on DraftKings. It is not a good matchup on paper. Cleveland, second overall in rush DVOA. Okay. But the last month has been a struggle in the rushing department. 23 fantasy points allowed to the running back, over 4.3 yards per carry and 116 yards per game. That's fourth worst in the NFL, trending in the wrong direction. They gave it up to Ameer Abdullah, for example. They gave it up to Leo Fournette, for example. But obviously, everybody gives it up to Leonard Fournette. Not everybody gives it up to Leonard Fournette, by the way. Not everybody does. The Cardinals didn't. See what I mean? Like, you can't run between the tackles on that team. Plenty of receiving work too, over 35 yards per game in the receiving game, 150 yards per game total allowed to backs. The thing that I hate about Melvin Gordon is that he just doesn't do more than 4 yards per carry. He can't. Offensive line is good in pass protection, not great in rushing. Okay. Rush production. But in general, Cleveland is a bad defense, and he's been getting 20 opportunities per game, and he's a home favorite. I mean, you only have so many guys on this slate who fit those markers, which is what you want. I mean, Gurley's not at home. You have the Ingram Kamara guy. Those guys are at home, but who's it going to be? Carolina stops the run. You know, it's a passing game for me, for New Orleans. We talk about Michael Thomas later, but it's a passing game. Carolina's, that's the way to beat them right now. It's not on the ground. And you're fine. Okay, great. Drew Brees, let's give you the ball. You know how to beat this team. You play them every single year. Beat them. Yeah, fine. No big deal. So if you want to go there, it's Alvin Kamara. I don't like the decrease in receiving work for Gordon. Okay, only 8 receptions in the last 3 games, and when they are winning, they're not throwing the ball to him. He's getting the catches in situations when they can't run between the tackles and they're in competitive games where they need a comeback. That's where he was getting the receiving work, and that's when he had those 30-point games. But if he's not going to get 8 targets per game, guys, he's not going to hit that 30-point mark. He hasn't done that. 8 targets in the last 3 weeks. 3 receptions for 38 yards. That's not what you want. Or excuse me, 8 receptions for 38 yards. That is not what you want out of Melvin Gordon. That's not what you pay for. I've been looking at him for the receiving upside because he's one of those guys who, fine, he's not very good in between the tackles. He's not good behind the bigs. He's good in space. And if he gets loose, he gets loose for a lot of yards. And you get these big, you know, remember last year, he had like some of the most breakaway runs in the league. And that was how he kept creating value. That's a legitimate way to create fantasy value. But not if it's not happening. And if it's not happening, then you have to be really, really careful because it's not, they're not scheming for it, or they're just not allowing it, or whatever the case may be. So, you know, there's a 10-point floor there, but if he doesn't get in the end zone, that's where you're landing. You're landing at 10 points. That's my caution about Melvin Gordon. But, you know, I mean, it's a home favorite against the Browns. Am I overthinking it? Probably. Here's a home favorite against the Niners, who are just as bad, 7,500. Jordan Howard, 65 on DraftKings. He's always a better play on FanDuel. I don't think you can play Jordan Howard on FanDuel, on DraftKings. He doesn't catch footballs. They hit him in the fingers, in the hands. He just doesn't. He's not good at it. The Niners are bad on the year. In the last month, they've been a little better, but just still very bad. Howard's snap rate has dropped, however. Since the bye, it's dropped to 50%. It's very clearly stuck there. Now, the touches vary game to game. San Francisco is 22nd in rush DVOA. That's fine. They're 27th overall in DVOA, so they're not a good defense. But it's a terrible offense, and one of the worst offenses on the slate, one of the worst offenses in football. They don't do anything except for punt. You know, there's a lot of caution here. They've been good at running the ball when they can. And, you know, their line has been solid. 2.4 yards before contact, but a pretty average 3.7 adjusted line yards. But Howard is better than that. He has averaged 4.3 yards per carry. That's one of the best yard marks in the league among all, you know, the top ball carriers. It's just above Zeke. He's above Fournette. He's above Gurley. He's even above Le'Veon Bell as far as just straight yards per carry. And Howard, you know, listen, if he can smash, he will smash. And if they can give him 15 carries, they will give him 15 carries. But right now, 15 to 19, he's not going to get more than 20 carries. They're not giving it to him. They're not running enough plays, guys. They're just not. They have the fewest plays. They have one of the slowest paces. They're a terrible offense. However, San Francisco, they're bad, man. Highest, you know, they've been run on the most in the league, over 33 carries per game, and the highest rushing first down rate in the league. I mean, if John Fox can give these running backs 40 touches, he probably will. Who knows? They might do it. So I think Jordan Howard is interesting. There's a lot of caution flags here. However, if there's ever a spot where you see him kind of get back to the 100 yards and a touch, this is the week. And, it, you know, he's good for it. I mean, he's also good for some real breakaway runs. We've seen him this year get out in space and just rumble. And that man can run. And he, you know, he's not particularly fast, but he can break tackles and keep his balance and move in space. So you got to like him. Give him some respect. Deion Lewis, though, man, come on now. He does so much with so little. He is such a gift, a little salary, a little amount of touches, this is a terrible sentence, a low salary, a small number of touches, but 5.1 yards per carry against the league's worst rush defense, behind the league's best offensive line, second best offensive line. This is everything you need. It checks all of the Sean boxes. I love it. The goal line work. Well, Rex Burkhead. But fuck Rex Burkhead. It's Deion Lewis, baby. Buffalo. Now, of course, by the way, here's what's going to happen. We're all going to get super jacked about Deion Lewis. We're going to build up our lineups. Oh, everything fits together so nicely. Great. And Belichick is going to say, yeah, we're actually going to activate Gilsley this weekend. Gilsley's going to be active for us. James White. White has a – he's got a hammy. So Mike's going to be active. And you're going to go, fuck. Fuck, Mike Gillisley troll game? Mike Gillisley revenge game? What is going to happen here? It's going to happen. I guarantee you. This is Belichick. Anyway, we'll see. But listen, Deion Lewis, on paper, just the best, okay? Buffalo has not seen an offensive line like this since the New Orleans game. What happened in the New Orleans game, gang? Okay? 7 yards per carry, 4 rushing touchdowns, and just below 300 yards rushing for that whole team. Kamara had 12 touches. He went for over 100 yards and a touchdown. Mark Ingram, 30 fantasy points. Deion Lewis, if he gets 12 touches, I'm fine with that. He's going to destroy them. Okay? Yes, Kareem Hunt couldn't do anything. The Chiefs' offensive line has been brutal. They're like 25th in the league right now. The Pats literally could not create more room for Deion Lewis last week. Every single play was like 15 yards, 15 yards, 15 yards, 120 rushing yards on 15 attempts. It's unbelievable. This guy's so good in space. He finds a little bit of space. He's so good. They've allowed 11 touchdowns in the red zone and a 43% success rate. That's like 28th in the league. They stink. They're not good. They're not good. Alex Collins, this is an interesting spot. Versus the Lions. Listen, he's only played like 46% of snaps in the last game. He maxed out at 64% in the last month. 49% on average. But he's the first and second down back. Okay? No doubt about it. And he hasn't seen less than 14 touches. Okay. You have my attention. There are snaps going to Woodhead. There are targets going to Woodhead. He got eight touches. So if you want to do some Danny Woodhead, get crazy, go ahead. Fine. 4 carries, 4 catches last week. Meh, 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 meh. Collins was banged up with a calf, but he did return to practice today. He's good. He is their first and second down back. Okay. Detroit has allowed 116 rushing yards in the last month per game, 4.96 yards per carry and over a touchdown per game. That's like third worst in the league. They're brutal. They're like Giants bad right now. Okay, this team is not good at defending the run. They're on the road. Baltimore, if they can run the ball, they're going to run the ball 74 times. 65 plays in a game, Baltimore's going to run the ball 74 times. Harbaugh's going to make them stay after the game and run it 9 extra times against the phantom defense just because he's Harbaugh. He's going to go, this is what they used to do. Bo Schembechler used to do this when he wanted to make a point about how much we wanted to run the ball against an opponent. He's going to say something like that, you know, and everyone's going to be like, coach, the game is over. We won. They're going to be like, 9 more attempts. You know, it's going to be terrible, but they're going to do it. It's going to be like that scene from Miracle, the hockey movie, but it's going to be the Ravens alone rushing the ball extra times just to prove a point against the Lions. The comp that you have here, he's had some difficult rush games, and he's actually been fine. But the comp that you have for Collins is his game against Miami. Destroyed. 18 carries, 113 yards. He, like, annihilated them. This guy's good. He gets out in space. He gets big chunk plays. I think he's an interesting tournament play. I also have zero problem with Jamal Williams versus Tampa Bay. He's going to be the chalk du jour. Chalk of the day. That's French for chalk of the day. He's definitely an interesting spot. 5,700 against the Bucks, 47 on DK. Value play of the week makes sense. Cash games makes sense. Worst defense in the league, 30th in DVOA. Don't worry about the Aaron Jones stuff. He's on the front end of his return. I don't think they're going to let him play unless he like is miraculously like that was a big injury. Unless he's miraculously returned there, I don't think there's any reason to rush him back. Now, I hope he's not active. And if Ty Montgomery's there, I hope he's not active, but we'll see. I mean, Jamal Williams takes a big hit if Aaron Jones and Ty Montgomery are both active on Sunday, because who knows what the fuck is going to happen. He was getting 80% of snaps. He was getting over 20 touches per game. against, and he was getting a team that is now 20th in rush DVOA, allowing 20 points per game to the running back in the last month, over 100 yards per game. Now, he's been very inefficient, under 4 yards per carry. But what we saw from him that we really liked was in that Steelers game was the receiving work. He has the ability to catch the ball, get out in space, create. I see he keeps saying get out in space. What a throwaway line, get out in space. Get out in space just means that there's not a lot of other people there. Of course running backs are good when there's not a lot of other people there, Sean. I'm sorry, guys. Anyway, solid. Williams has been very solid. Good, solid. I'll give him solid. I don't want to chase, and I think a lot of people will. He's fine. 21 touches in the last couple games. He's been useful in the past game. The Bucs can't blitz, though, and maybe you think that Hundley tries to take advantage of that by throwing the ball more downfield. I don't know. But home favorite, 20 touches, great snap rate. It's all there. It's all there. Pass game work, it's all there. So, you know, it all lines up on paper for Jamal Williams to be just as good as Tevin Coleman was last week. You know, 2 touchdowns, probably not. I mean, this isn't a Matt Ryan-led offense, but this is a bad defense. Okay, this is a bad defense. And they should be able to throw the ball, move the ball down the field. So you feel good about that. But keep an eye on the Aaron Jones news. Keep an eye on the Ty Montgomery news. And let's talk a little bit about Marshawn Lynch. Beast Mode got 26 touches on Sunday. If we get any sort of, you know, inkling that Del Rio is going to do that again, you better fire this dude up. I mean, he gets the Giants at home as a favorite with Geno Smith under center. He has almost 100% of this team's goal line work. Besides Jamizil Olawale, who got one carry. I did not say that right, and that was slightly disrespectful, Mr. Olawale. I know you're listening, and while I appreciate and respect your contributions to the Oakland Raiders, I apologize for mispronouncing your name. He got one. So, listen, he owns pretty much all the goal line work. Like, there's nobody else they're going to put in there for the goal line. So if he falls into the end zone, which is very possible against the Giants, who suck, and they're now without Janoris Jenkins, even though, God, what would we be doing if Crabtree and Cooper were playing? But they're not, because the gods are punishing the Raiders. And they probably should, because Al Davis has probably done some terrible things. Anyway, all right, moving on to wide receiver. Chalk is, here it is. You ready for the chalk? Here are the chalk names. Mike Evans, Adam Thielen, DeAndre Hopkins, Davante Adams. Those are the chalk names, okay? So let's talk about all of them, because I like them all. Julio, to me, I don't know. Xavier Rhodes, I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like it. He's good. You shut down Antonio Brown, you get on the you're good list. Marvin Jones made some phenomenal catches when Rhodes' eyes, when Rhodes was turned around. It's not going to happen again. And those were borderline lucky. I hate to say it, but they were borderline lucky. Marvin Jones is a beast. But if you shut down Antonio Brown, you get on my you're too good to play against list. So Xavier Rhodes for me, Julio, not interested. Could he score? Sure. Yeah, definitely. Is he going to get targets? Yep, he has been in a lot of targets, a lot of them. So definitely interesting. Hopkins, though, talk about a guy who gets a lot of targets. 8K, 7,300 on DraftKings. He's got a foot injury right now, but he should be okay. He's been playing with it for a couple weeks. He smashed the Ravens, who are a phenomenal pass defense, for 125 yards. This guy's like matchup proof to the max. Now he gets Tennessee. They're terrible. Smash spot, 32 fantasy points in the last month, well above average, top 10 worst. He went off on them for over 100 yards and a touchdown with Watson at the helm. And he hasn't really slowed down on the targets. I mean, the lowest you're going to get for him is like 9 targets, but he's probably going to get double-digit targets. You have to think that even though this game is going to be slow, Savage loves him. He's going to throw the ball to him 1,000,001 times. He is the closest to Antonio Brown on this slate that you can get beyond Julio and Adam Thielen. I think Hopkins is going to be really easy to fit in this week. You don't have a lot of high-priced running backs that you have to jam in. You don't have the high-priced quarterback that you have to jam in. I think Hopkins is going to be very popular, and I really, really like him. Do I like him more than Adam Thielen? I don't know. I'm playing this guy, man. I'm fucking playing Adam Thielen. Don't tell me what to do, okay? He's top four in total PPR points. He's one of the most efficient wide receivers out there in catch rate, okay? Only Keenan Allen is more efficient right now, according to airyards.com. And it's just unbelievable. Over 10 yards, average depth of target, but only 3 touchdowns on the year. So you may see a little bit of bump here. He's got Atlanta. Atlanta seems rough. They're top 3 fewest fantasy points allowed. But Detroit is top 5. They're 5. Did Thielen struggle against them? No. And that's the thing is like you have to kind of read between the lines when you have these elite offenses to see whether or not they're going to struggle. Then he's not going to struggle here. Okay, I mean this is an elite offense. I'm not going to say it. They're top. They're fourth in offensive DVOA. It's behind the Pats, the Saints, and who's 3? I don't know, but they're 4th. Rams, Pats, Saints, Rams, and them. They're good. This team is really good. Okay, listen, and you know Jason listens to the podcast. He always give more love for the Vikings. Jason, they're fucking good. They're really good. I've been watching them. They're a really good football team. And Adam Thielen is part of that, man. Listen, this guy did not struggle against the Lions. He did not struggle against the Redskins. He did not struggle. Like, he is pretty much matchup proof right now. Thielen is pretty much matchup proof. He is like, I've called him the white Antonio Brown for a reason. He is the white Antonio Brown. Let's get white Antonio Brown in our lineups because he's too cheap. He's too cheap. Get him in there, 7,800. Mike Evans, 75 and 71. Versus Green Bay, price drop, return of Jameis Winston, famous Jameis in Green Bay. I don't love it because the AC joint, I told you guys, my dad did his AC joint, never been the same. Shoulder pops, just like stands up from, you know, like at the dinner table, like stands up and just kind of shifts his shoulders like, you're like, fuck, dad, what was that? wide receiver ones against the Packers. Do you need any other explanation? Antonio Brown went for 30 points. Is what you do. Wide receiver ones against the Packers. Running backs against the 49ers, quarterbacks against the Texans, you know, tight ends against the Browns. It's all, it just, there comes a point in fantasy football where you just build a lineup from memory. It's easy. You know, so wide receiver ones against the Packers, no doubt about it. Evans, wide receiver 2, he's in the wide receiver 2 range right now in fantasy football. He's top 10 in air yards, however, very elite there. Over 1,000 air yards, 1,100 air, excuse me, over 1,100 air yards on the season. That's great. But only 4 touchdowns. You know, that's only 1 behind Julio. You know, and you know, we give Julio a bunch of flack, but this Mike Evans is doing his best Julio impression. He hasn't scored a touchdown in like 6 weeks. All of those touchdowns came with Jameis. Jameis comes back. You get a great matchup with Green Bay. Boom. Boom, baby. Boom, baby. The thing I don't like is that the Bucs offensive line is banged up. I don't like that. I don't like that. They put 2 guys in the IR, so that's not my favorite. If you want to pivot, I think Michael Thomas is the pivot at that price point off of Mike Evans. Carolina is, they're allowing the most total yards and fantasy points to wide receivers in the last week. They're like 2nd. And 2 of those games are against the fucking Dolphins and the Jets. 2 of those games are against the Dolphins and the Jets. They are allowing massive production to the wide receiver. Thomas sees over 0.44 fantasy points per opportunity. He hasn't dipped below 5 receptions in the last month. He consistently sees 10 targets. Went for 87 and a touchdown against them last time in Carolina. He's at home. I think this is a breeze game. I think that Michael Thomas, 10 targets easy, 8 receptions, 90 yards. Possible touchdown. That's what he does. He's very, very consistent. I think he's an ideal pivot off of Mike Evans. Devontae Adams, though, he's going to be very, very popular versus Tampa Bay. And why not? I mean, the dude is 6,500 on both platforms. It's insanely cheap. You've been going after the Bucs every single week. Why stop? Most fantasy points allowed in the last month to wide receivers. Huge target share in this offense. Still top 10 fantasy wide receiver. Even with Hundley in her quarterback, he has been great. Listen, for context, this guy still has more targets and receptions than Alshon Jeffrey, Robbie Anderson, Tyreek Hill, Brandon Cooks. And he's only 6,500. None of those guys are that cheap. None of those guys are that cheap. He should be chalky. And, you know, that's because Robert McClain sucks. He allows one of the highest catch rates in the NFL. The only person who allows a higher catch rate in the NFL, by the way, is Brian Poole. Brian Poole is slated to guard who? The white Antonio Brown, Adam Thielen. Robbie Anderson versus Kansas City. Yeah, man. Fuck yeah, Andy, Robbie Anderson. First of all, Robbie Anderson has a very pleasant FanDuel profile picture. He smiles. He looks nice. He looks like a friendly guy. Kind of guy who maybe laugh at your jokes, that kind of thing. You know, like you want to like get to know, like, hey, Robbie, how are you, man? Good to see you, buddy. You know, like, here's a funny joke. That's the kind of guy Robbie Anderson strikes me as. He's definitely due for some touchdown regression, okay? There's no denying, though, that he is the biggest fantasy wide receiver value on this team. McCown has a rapport with him, 6 touchdowns, last 5 games, elite air yard profile, 1,100 air yards. That's on Marvin Jones's level. It's just below Mike Evans and all those guys, AJ Green, those guys. Listen, Kansas City allows one of the highest passer ratings in the NFL, especially on deep stuff. So we've seen the big lines from deep wide receivers. Antonio Brown, we saw it. You know, we saw who else? I'm trying to think of who else slashed them from wide receiver position. I can't think of anybody else. They're bad. Okay, just trust me, all right? Just fucking trust me. Kansas City's bad. Corey Davis versus Houston, 5,843 on DraftKings. Listen, if Matthews doesn't play, it's Corey Davis breakout week. He's the way to go. He's been quiet, but 21 targets in the last 3 games. Not really plus matchups. I mean, Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, he had Rashawn Melvin for most of the game. Cincinnati, good outside corners on all of those teams. On all of those teams, no doubt about it. Houston, fucking terrible corners. He's going to get Kevin Johnson, who allows 0.41 fantasy points per route. It's one of, like, top 5 worst in the league. Definitely, Corey Davis could be his breakout week. Cooper Kupp versus Arizona, 6,364 on DK. He's definitely a, I don't know, I mean, second wide receiver facing the Cardinals. You do it all year. Who's not getting Patrick Peterson? Well, who's the other guy, right? I mean, last week it was Dede Westbrook. Okay, well, he's going to get at least 5 receptions. That's pretty much what everybody does. No reason not to go there again. I think that Cooper Kupp is definitely in play. I think he will be popular, but the price is up a little bit, so he's not going to be quite the play that he was last week. But, you know, why not? Especially on DK, where, you know, 8 receptions, that's great. I mean, that's your touchdown right there. If he gets in the end zone, you're just fucking money. Tyrell versus Cleveland. If Mike Williams is not going to play, and I don't think he is, there's no reason for them to rush him out here. Easy matchup. Tyrell, he's a great target, GPPs, he's going to go low-owned, he's going to be downfield, he's going to probably not get McCourty, because I think McCourty is going to get Allen. If McCourty doesn't shadow Keenan Allen, then we're all going to wish we played Keenan Allen. Let's just say that. And you do have to think about Keenan Allen in this situation, because the man is on fucking fire. He has been phenomenal in yards after the catch recently. Huge reception volume. Phillip Rivers and him are just hitting it off. Clearly something changed in the scheme. They said, let's get this man the ball. This is a travesty. He's our best wide receiver. We need to get him the ball. We need to get him open more often. He has been doing it. He's been smashing. He's 8K. Him or DeAndre Hopkins. The problem is that the wide receiver one, the most dangerous wide receiver on facing Cleveland will get McCourty. And McCourty is an animal. He's been phenomenal. I mean, he shuts down Hopkins. He shut down Green. He shut down all of those guys. So, you know, I don't know necessarily that maybe Allen gets that treatment and he slows down a little bit. And but God, if he doesn't guard him, I don't know. If he doesn't guard him, then we're all going to wish we had Keenan Allen in our lineup. Randall Cobb, you ready for this? Slot receivers against the Bucs. Here's the stat lines. Sanu, 8 for 64. Jarvis Landry, 6 for 95 and a touchdown. Larry Fitzgerald, 10 for 138 and a touchdown. Those are the active slot wide receivers. Now, I'm not going to count, like, you know, Brandon Coleman. I'm not going to count, you know, like, who's the other one? I forget. But I'm not going to count those guys. Those are the guys that I'm going to count. Sanu, Landry, Larry Fitz. There's a lot there. And Verdon Hargraves, not a good cover corner. He's been destroyed this year. Randall Cobb, he's getting 4 or 5 targets per game. All you need to do is see that number double because, you know, all of a sudden Hundley realizes like, ooh, this is a great spot. And boom, Randall Cobb is going to get 8 targets and he could turn that 8 targets into 60 yards. I think he's a really nice play on DraftKings, especially if you need a punt wide receiver. Nobody, I mean, I don't know how many people are going to play him. You haven't played Randall Cobb in forever. But, you know, he clearly still has a role in this offense. Hundley's feeling more comfortable. Good, bad pass defense. It's all there. It's all there. And all it takes, man, is the touchdown that maybe would you thought was going to go to Adams goes to Cobb. Boom. Boom, baby. Boom, baby. He is the pivot. Tight ends, Zach Ertz versus Seattle. Very interesting. It's very hard for me to fade a tight end who is in a primetime matchup favored for one of the highest totals on the slate. Gronk is very appealing too for this exact same reason. And Gronk has the Buffalo homecoming narrative, by the way. He is smashed at home in Buffalo. It was nice to see him get into the end zone last week. You're kind of like, oh, okay, Gronkulator. But Ertz versus Seattle, very, very interesting. You know, he has been basically the highest floor tight end. You talk about variance at the tight end position. Doesn't happen with Zach Ertz. Just has not happened with him. He has been excellent in all of his matchups this year. Of course, now, you can only play him on FanDuel because it's the primetime slate. But averaging 13 points per game, that's the same as Gronk. He has not dipped below. I mean, he had the Dallas game. They took him out of that scheme. They schemed him away. But I think that was also the game where he got nicked up, if I remember correctly. But the man literally has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 touchdowns in the last 7 weeks. I mean, this is like Robbie Anderson level. You see what I did there? It's true, though. If you're going off of Ertz, you got to really, I think Delanie Walker, man. I mean, just how consistent can Delanie Walker be? He has been phenomenal. 9-point floor in the last month. Been getting nine targets in plus matchups. We know that the Houston matchup, not a great matchup for tight ends in general, but a great passing matchup, one where they probably will be able to pass the ball quite a bit. He's gone for over 60 receiving yards in every single game since the Cleveland one, and that was the last week before their bye. You know, phenomenal work from Delanie Walker, the most trusted wide receiver one of the most trusted wide receivers, especially if Rishard Matthews is out. You really got to take some interest in him and what could be a pass-happy script for the Titans. Now, you get into the 5K range. This is where things get real saucy, okay? Here's the sauce that I'm talking about. I'm talking about Jared Cook and Hunter Henry. There's no one else that can catch footballs in Oakland, okay? Now, has Jared Cook really, really challenged me personally as a fantasy player in the last 2 weeks? Yeah, I mean, yes, he has completely fucked my life up. He end zone targets that he just doesn't catch. I don't know what it is. I don't want to talk about it. It cost me a lot of money last week. He was super low owned. It was incredibly sexy. No one was on him. He didn't do a blessed thing. But who else is going to catch the ball? Okay. And the Giants are one of the worst teams against the tight end. You have to like Jared Cook in this spot. Now, the other guy who's in a great spot is Hunter Henry. Cleveland is the next worst team against the tight end. They have been terrible. And Henry, back from the dead last week, 75 yards and a touchdown, which is what we expect from Hunter Henry. That's what we hope for every single game. No Mike Williams out there. He should be able to get in. I mean, the guy is a red zone magnet. Did you see the catch that he made in the end zone? Two guys draped on him, still caught it. He's a phenomenal receiver. I was telling you guys about this Blitz article, and I wish I remember who it was on Pro Football Focus, but PFF was writing about how Hunter Henry could be one of the biggest beneficiaries of the Blitz. The Browns blitz a lot. Rivers looks to Henry in the Blitz situations a lot. So you have to like Henry in this situation versus the Browns. I honestly, Henry and Cook are going to be the chalk. They're going to be 50% owned. I'm not sure who, you know, I don't know. Flip a coin. I wish I wish I knew. I wish I may. I wish I might. I think it's Hunter Henry, right? Only because he catches more balls. Like, Cook has been so inefficient. His catch rate is brutal. And I don't know. Anyway, defense, you're going to have a real give me one reason you don't play the fucking Jaguars. Give me one good reason. And don't say that they're 5,600, because this team could score 20 points like just by going out on the field. Okay? They completely blanked this offense last time. No points allowed. They've played two other similarly bad offenses in the last month, Cincinnati and Cleveland. They only allowed one touchdown. They had 10 sacks against Indianapolis. Against bad offensive lines or teams that draw a lot of sacks, they destroy people. They destroy people. They had 20 points because they had 10 sacks against Indy last time out. They're at home. They're massive favorites. Indy's offensive line is just, it's even worse. It continues to be banged up. I don't think there's any reason that you don't try to force the Jaguars into your lineup. It's a 20-point team. Think about this. If I told you that there was a possibility that there was a very, very clear 20-point performance from a $5,600 wide receiver, if I knew that there was like a over 50% chance that every single $5,600 wide receiver has an injury on the slate. Can't even name one of them. $5,600 tight end. If I told you that Ricky Seals-Jones was going to score 20 points, you would fucking play him. Right? Well, guys, there's a really good chance that the Jaguars score 20 points. Maybe you play them, okay? Same goes for Steven Guskowski. I mean, how many field goals can this guy kick? His leg is going to fall off. Nice looking guy. Seems like a friendly guy. Kind of guy that Brady, like Giselle's excited when he comes over to the house. There's probably a lot of guys that Giselle is like, you know, they have a party. Giselle's probably like, oh God, this guy, he's so annoying. He's so loud. Gronk, for example, he's so loud. Oh, hi, Gronk. Come in. Hi, good to see you. Who is this random girl that you brought, Gronk? You know? And then Guskowski comes, his wife, you know, she's so sweet, what a nice family, they have the kids, you know, he's got like a nice kid. That's Guskowski, right? Giselle loves Guskowski. I mean, of course she does. I mean, he seems like a great guy, just from his, and that's only, I'm only judging that on his FanDuel picture, 110%. Him and Ricky, Robbie Anderson, probably great, great people. Anyway, that's enough. That's enough about Guskowski musings about the Patriots house parties. Guys, patreon.com/lineuplogic. Support the show, because if you don't, I'm not going to be able to create bullshit stories about Giselle hosting Steven Guskowski at her house. And it's really important for fantasy analysis. Hey, tomorrow, I'm going to stay up all night and do an NBA podcast. I'll be tired, but I'm going to do it. And...